to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Are we hot here? Yes, we are. This is the National Intel Report coming to you live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network. It is the 14th. I am getting a, Mr. Engineer, I'm getting a weird echo in my ear. Let's fix this. I'm not going to spend 2 hours listening to this. At any rate, it is the 14th of April, 2006. We are going to have Scott Stevens on today, a meteorologist that has been doing a great job on, talking about weather wars. Do you hear this? You should hear it. Come on over here and put my headphones on. And give me those earphones so I can hear myself talk. Okay. This is live radio, folks. We do it on the run here. At any rate, I can't hear a thing out of these. Okay. All right, here. We'll get this straightened around here. There we go. Can you hear that? That sounds kind of bizarre. It's great having an engineer with 10 ears, boy, I'll tell you. At any rate, Scott Stevens will be with me today. And also in the second hour, Elizabeth Border. She does a program on the network and entitled Divided Kingdom. She'll be with us also. So at any rate, we will do that right after this first up-and-coming break. We'll get Scott on the air. And I really applaud this guy. You know, this spraying minimally has been going on 10 years in this country. Minimally 10 years, probably more like 20 years. But there was only one guy out there before. I don't know what happened. It cleared up. Boy, you're a magic man. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. At any rate, courageous individual. And he's 39 years old. He was doing weather meteorologist on television for 19 years. A long time. That I was talking to him before the broadcast today, and he said, you know, he said, I just don't want to live in a country like this where we have lies and deception and chaos and all of that stuff. That's not how we're meant to live, and I'd prefer not living if that's all we have to look forward to is more of the same old stuff. And I'm in complete agreement with him. Folks, I'm tired of this, aren't you? So we're going to continue to put out the information. We're desperately looking for other people to get up off of their safe spot, stand out in the light, do what you know you're supposed to be doing, and help spreading the word. That's the only way that this is going to work. See, they've got all the airtime. They've got all the money in the world. They've got all the deceivers, the liars, and everything else lined up. And if they all disappeared tomorrow, don't worry, there'd be that many, and if not more, to take their place. But you can't take the place of one thing. Truth. They're dealing with lies. We're dealing with the truth. So we'll get into the weather wars. By the way, his website, you want to go up and start perusing this thing, it's weatherwars.info. My guest, Scott Stevens, will be with us here in just a couple of minutes after this break. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stachmiller.
All right. Scott Stevens is with us. Good afternoon, Mr. Stevens.
Good afternoon, John.
How are you doing?
I'm well this afternoon. It's Friday. It's always good to get to the end of the week.
Well, yes, make it through another week to face more of the stuff next week. But that's a new challenge for next week. I look forward to ways to hurt the other people that are trying to hurt us.
We'll save that for Monday.
There you go. Scott, you were a weatherman for 19 years, 10 years at one station. What was that station?
It was the NBC affiliate here in eastern Idaho, KPVI.
And you had 9 years, at other stations?
I started when I was still going to school at Kansas, at KU, and I had worked in Topeka, then up the road to Omaha, down to Tulsa, over to Albany, New York, before coming back here to the West in 1996. So I've put up with a few different climates and forecasted and chased tornadoes and dealt with the nor'easters and had all of that good stuff, but I tell you, I like the West.
Yeah. And we are getting besieged. I told you before the program, I went to Arizona a couple of weekends ago. Mm-hmm. Coming back, they had 6-8 planes at a time in the air and just having a good old time. They were playing dodge 'em up there. I mean, you could see just by their courses and how they would angle off of each other, and they were doing interesting things in the sky. And when I was looking at your website, you've got several good pictures up here of these aircraft that are doing these. Now, no markings on these planes whatsoever. They are white. Most of these are of what configuration?
Most of them are white, white, gray, or even a pale tan. And what they'll tend to do is throw a splash of color on the tail. So from a distance, it looks like it's commercial. It belongs to that commercial fleet. But usually there isn't any commercial insignia on the tail. They'll also do a splash of either white or blue for different colors onto the belly of the plane. So when you're looking up to the bright blue sky, that you don't necessarily pick out the plane quite as easily. So there's some rough camouflage incorporated with those planes, but boy, you train a 20-power spotting scope on them, and you can pick them out. They're not that hard to discern. And to be honest with you, John, they're everything from 747s, 767s, 737s, MD-80s, and I've even seen some of the smaller jets, like Falcons or Gulfstreams or even Cessna Citations. And usually those planes will be working together, where you'll have two smaller planes, again, with a much smaller payload aloft, but they're still doing the X's and then marking off some of the holes in the skies rather than ferrying passengers to and fro, as we would like them to be doing up there rather than what they are doing.
Well, you know, it's kind of strange. I don't know if you know anything about this. About 10, 15 years ago, what we started to notice was they were doing satellite map gridding. And every once in a while, we'd come across one of these, and actually looked like a crosshair in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, it didn't dawn on me what exactly these were, but these were geographical markers, and they were mapping from space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was 15 years ago. Now, we've been having this spraying, and I want to get into this because a lot of people, and your ex-brethren, let's say, in the meteorological societies, they seem to be, how should we say, somewhat lacking. I remember when I first hit Texas here about 8 years ago, I'm listening to the local weather report, and this guy's just up there just beaming. We're under perfectly clear, sunny skies here in central Texas. And we were watching the chemtrails being sprayed all day. By the time this guy got on the air at 5:30, 6 o'clock, the entire sky was this opaque stuff, and we were getting the little rainbow effect through the clouds. And as the sun started to set, I called up the station. I waited till he was off the air. Called up the station. I said, "Look, you're reporting clear weather here in central Texas." He said, "Yeah, according to the Doppler radar, there's nothing out there. We're under perfectly sunny skies." I said, "Have you bothered to go outside the studio and look up?" And he said, "Well, wait a second." He put me on hold to come back, and he said, "Well, it's cloudy." I said, "But that's not what your weather, that's not what your radar reported, and that's what you just didn't report to the people here watching your television broadcast."
And this is something I dealt with, too, before I had the light go on, so to speak, was that we have resources that we use, satellite and radar, and then observations from the airport to determine what is going on. And the studio I worked in was in the basement, and there were no windows except for the glowing CRT and LCD screens that provided us with, quote-unquote, the weather data. And something that we really miss, and there was a little bit of an uproar back at the turn of the last decade, in the late 80s and early 90s, as the National Weather Service began to roll out automated surface observing system, basically replacing the man who would go out and make these hourly observations either at the airports or at the National Weather Service locations. And when they were replaced with this automated technology, these sensors could not see clouds above 12,000 feet. And let me rephrase that. Let's say they were programmed not to report clouds above 12,000 feet. They can sense the clouds up to about 20 to 22,000 feet, but apparently they weren't interested in reporting that information.
And what would the reasoning be? Because they're just more or less interested in precipitation that's falling?
Because pilots, as they approach the airports, don't need to know what's going on above 12,000 feet because their approach is going to be VFR at that point.
Right.
They'll be able to drop down below the clouds. But for the weather industry, that was a terrible loss of information, that we simply lost knowledge of when we had mid- and high-level cloud cover. And I think it's very, very telling because they rolled out this whole new infrastructure to report the conditions across this country at the time the chemtrails were being introduced. So we lost the hands-on eyes to the sky that would notice this change in cloud cover, because prior to that point in time, there was always room for comments to where you could say contrails or scattered clouds or clear above 12,000 feet or thin overcast. There were all of these descriptors, these human descriptors, and that's all been replaced by, I think, five letters, clear below, CLR, BLO, and then 120, which is flight level 12,000 feet. And so we've lost our coverage of high clouds. So this was, I don't know whether it was intentional or not, but it was certainly happened at the same time where we lose access to the weatherman knowing that these clouds are developing and out there.
So we just sit in our basements at the TV studios in front of our monitors and all the weather information, and we never bother to go outside and actually look up.
And truly, it's the walk from the car into the building, and we often don't look outside unless there is weather happening. And on a clear day with some cirrus clouds, it's not reason enough to go outside and look unless you're a smoker.
Well, yeah, right. Well, down here in Texas, we've got beautiful blue skies, no chemtrails going on, which is really amazing to me. But we've got clear and fair weather down here, at least in central Texas. But a couple of weeks ago, as I started to say, I was coming back from Arizona, and there was no less than six planes at a clip. And now we're not talking about heavily populated area of the United States. You're lucky some of these routes you run across towns that are a couple hundred, if that. But
yeah,
they were just up there just busily spraying around. Now, several years ago, there was a gentleman by the name of Cliff Carnicom that came out, and he produced a couple of, by today's standards, crappy video presentations. But he at least made a stab at it. But Cliff Carnicom has, for all intents and purposes, disappeared.
Yeah, and I'm very grateful for Cliff and the work that he's done, because every one of these researchers who boldly goes where nobody else has gone before leaves a trail of information and theses and theories and observations, and those are important for those who come along afterwards and begin to build on that foundation of work. And thank you, Cliff. Thank you for doing what you've done. You know, whether you keep on going, that's another issue, and that's a very personal one at best. But Cliff did a lot in alerting me that something was going on in the skies, and most specifically the close-up images of a lot of those planes as they began their work across the desert southwest in the middle 90s. And as a weatherman, I could envision meteorological conditions which would allow these trails to line up as they do, like bike spokes or bike wheel spokes, as these planes take off and leave from one airport event vector off to their destinations. But it really isn't until you begin to look in your own skies and pay attention to the movement of these planes that you begin to realize that something is up. And that took a few years for me to get to the point, even as I was aware of the chemtrail phenomenon. It took me six years.
And that was going to be my original question to you. What made you, aside from being your job, what made you look at the heavens in a different light?
It was a summer afternoon in 2004. I was aware that we had electromagnetic manipulation of the atmosphere going on, and I did not want to touch the chemtrail issue. I did not have a motive for why they were doing what they were doing. And without that motive, I didn't want to pursue the phenomena. But I was out on the front yard and looked overhead on this beautiful, you know, northern Rocky summer afternoon, blue skies, and this white 747, low and slow, just ambled its way slowly across the valley. But all four of those engines looked like they had been shot to bits and were just smoking. And I looked up and said, that's one of those planes. That's one of those planes, because that trail should not be there and that plane should not be at that altitude. And it was at that moment that I became a believer in the chemtrails, but what I needed was a motive. Why were they doing what they were doing?
With perfect timing, we've got to go to break here. You've got some very interesting pictures. This is just not the white billowy stuff that we see spreading out, but a lot of times this stuff can be brown, tannish color, whatever. We'll talk more about the composition of what these clouds, these trails, they still try to explain them off as being condensation trails, folks, but, well, it's rare to see the contrails anymore. We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
At any given time in U.S. airspace, there is at least 5,000 aircraft comprising commercial and military. I don't know if they count the private sector in there or not, but the major air traffic, heavy jets in the air, at any given time, at least 5,000 of them in the airspace across the United States. And it used to be, when I was a kid, I was always fascinated by space, Scott, and the sky and the planets and the universe and all that stuff, you know, just a wondering mind, just an inquiring mind.
Me too.
And I can remember watching as a child jets at high altitudes and trying to determine, you know, what kind of a plane it was using my little handheld telescope. But more importantly, what stuck in my mind was the condensation trails. And that's how you readily identified aircraft. You could spot them real easy. Mm-hmm. And most of these trails that were left by these high-flying aircraft would last maybe 30, 40, maybe 60 seconds and then disappear. It would only go out a couple of miles at the most behind the aircraft. But now that is a rarity to see one of these condensation trails. What we most see in the skies today are these chemtrails. Now, what is the composition of these trails, and where did you get the information?
Well, we can still see these typical condensation trails. I mean, they will still be up there. They'll still be relatively short-lived, and the times that the regular condensation trails do become persistent or long-lasting contrails is usually prior to a storm's arrival, especially a winter storm when you get that sheath of high cirrus clouds advancing in on the warm sector ahead of a storm. And at that point in time is when you've got the moisture available in those upper levels of the atmosphere to where the condensation trail and that nuclei from the hydrocarbon fuels will then seed the sky and we get the cloud forming. What is unique is that we have aluminum and barium put in this particular fleet of planes, which then can create these persistent trails when the upper air environment is not as favorable. So you can still get these artificial persistent contrails with humidity at 30 or 40%, sometimes even less than that, depending on the mixture that they release. And there are still additional chemtrails, which are always short-duration trails. That's just what they're doing, is they're leaving this metal in the atmosphere to create a plasma environment whereby they can more easily propagate these extremely low-frequency waves, which are then used as the manipulation tool of the weather. So they'll fly these trails most aggressively ahead of a storm as they prepare the environment for what they want the storm to do. Whether they're across the southern plains and suppressing the precip, that's when you'll see the most trails because they have the most work to do, versus when they want to let a storm just kind of go through unfettered, then there's really no need to keep the trails active. They'll kind of pull back and let the storm move on through. But if they're aggressively managing the weather, that's when the trails are the most intense. And you will see slightly different mixtures for different altitudes. There'll be a mixture for sub 20,000 feet. There'll be a mixture for 20 to 25,000 feet, mixtures for higher levels. So when you view this chess game from space, you can see the dynamics of the atmosphere as it, in four dimensions, as literally this whole game is moving with different colored trails, at least through the views of these satellites, happening at different altitudes. So it makes it much, much easier for the weather engineers to determine where they want to exert their influence on the skies. And that's why we see the trail so aggressively ahead of storms. That's where the manipulation of the atmosphere happens. I've stood out in the backyard in the midst of a snowstorm and can hear the planes lumbering in the clouds or just above the tops of the clouds. I mean, it's 2 a.m. Of course, the dogs have got to go out. And you can hear the planes low and slow. And that was a kind of a wake-up call for me that 24/7, in all kinds of weather, these planes are out there assisting the weather engineers. And it's unfortunate because this is an incredible storehouse of information that's gathered in real time, that a portion of it should be diverted to the National Weather Service so they can increase their accuracy. When the Weather Service gets 150 balloons to release twice a day, that's, you know, the extent of their direct atmospheric sampling. And they do have some sensors on some commercial aircraft, but it is a far cry from the great expense that this other program uses to get the data they need.
The obvious question here is that is this the military that is doing this? Is this a private consortium? Whose assets, whose aircraft are they using, and whose personnel?
Yeah, that's a good question. And my feeling is that the military is aware of what's going on, and they may participate within some level, but on the whole, I believe it's private. And that way, you can control the information, you can control the agenda, you can control patents and who knows what. It has to be at essentially an elite level that those that have the money, that control the destiny of this planet, are the ones doing it. Because these planes fly across all different sovereign nations, Canada, across the U.S., Mexico, the Caribbean, both oceans, Atlantic and Pacific, and that all throughout Europe and the Middle East. All of these governments have to be aware of what's going on. Don't know whether they know why it's going on, but they have to be aware that it's happening.
I'm looking at your website, weatherwars.info, the pictures of some of these trails. One of my favorites is the horseshoe was taken in North Carolina in 2005.
Yes.
We got to take the break here. My guest today, Scott Stevens, will take your calls later on in the broadcast. We'll get into more information about this and why isn't any more people talking about this. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
In America, we value our liberty, but there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This super government will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stoptheftaa.org. And keep America free.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Weather wars. You know, folks, one of the hardest things to keep, especially in military operations, is a secret. And Scott, for years, I kept waiting for somebody that's involved in these spraying operations to come forth, have a pang of conscience, come forth and say that, okay, this is what we're doing and why we're doing it. Well, obviously, if they're doing this worldwide, not just in the United States, but worldwide, there has got to be hundreds and even thousands of individuals involved in this project.
Mm-hmm.
But I could understand if it's not in the military and this is an extracurricular activity using assets of yet to be determined who actually belongs to these. But I always wondered why somebody didn't come out and say, look, here's the scoop on what's going on.
I have too. I really am anxious for that day when somebody will send an email or give a phone call and has no problem using their name and their rank and or their position within these entities which have participated and perpetrated these acts against all of us. That day will come. I know that day will come because there are many people who do know. I think the number is probably smaller than we'd think. I don't think there are a whole lot of pilots on these planes. They've been able to remote control and fly these planes via radio and GPS signals now for the better part of a generation. So I really doubt that there are many of these planes that have pilots aboard. They simply land and get refueled, maintenanced, and turned around and take off again. We've got a few ideas where these bases are. Even one credible source thinks that they're housed underground. And if we won't see the fleet from above. There are enough private spacecraft peering down on the ground below that they've just had to move much of this activity underground. The answers will come together. They really will come together. But it was the motive that I was most interested in. Why were these planes doing what they were doing? And that came about a year ago this month.
And I'm sure that the thought probably crossed your mind, well, this is a project. It may be benevolent in nature to try to control weather, maybe do away with hurricanes or whatever the case may be. We would all like to think that what goes on around us and in our world, that it's not for some dark, sinister purpose.
Well, that's how we're raised. That, A, our government is good for us. They have our best interests at heart in the actions that they do. And that's the same with corporations, that they do what's best for the people. It's some people come to the realization that this is not the standard operating procedure of government and companies as time goes on, and others never do awaken to the fact, whether it's an individual choice. It's simply individual. But what I discovered in deploying cameras around the house, I put up four cameras and had them take pictures about every 3, 4, 5 seconds, depending on the day's cloud activity, and would at the end of the day review these 10 to 15 minute long movies. I was curious as into the waves and how they affected the clouds and cloud development. I mean, there were a lot of unusual things that happened in there as well, but it was the planes, that there were specific parts of clouds, specific meteorological phenomena that these planes were flying around and through. And repeatedly, they would target specific parts of clouds, specific parts of these cirrus clouds. Remember in the old days, cirrus clouds used to be termed mare's tails, long, straight, with a light wisp at the end. Now they're no such thing. They're just convoluted. They look like they've just been electric shocked time and time again, and you have these bursts of clouds here and there. These planes would fly through the clouds. Now, let me tell you, or ask you, how many times have you been on a flight that the pilot says to his passengers, "All right, guys, we're going to go down. We're going to go bust through some clouds here because we enjoy turbulence." That never happens. These guys are looking for the smoothest flight, and you don't get that by busting through clouds. But that's what these planes were doing, time and time again, lacing their trails through certain energy signatures within the clouds to see how the trails would respond to either ionization, to drift. And I think the comparison we can make to what's happened to the atmosphere is it's been digitized, pixelated. Think of it as a chessboard where you have these blocks, these squares, which have depth. And you fly these trails, these chalk lines, across the squares, and where each of these squares on this chessboard can be moved independently, where layers of these squares can be moved independently of the surrounding atmosphere. So you can heat them, expand them, you can cool them, contract the squares, you can nudge them laterally, you can lift them, you can push them down, and the trails are flown, surveying the sky to see how the atmosphere responds to this electromagnetic force.
Before we get into the scalar technology, there was a Dr. Hansen. He was a physicist that was a member of NASA, and he had ties directly to the upper echelons of government. But his big deal was global warming.
Understandably.
Let me phrase this question correctly here, because we've got the greenhouse gas meanies out there that are saying that we've got to eliminate all emissions, otherwise we're going to die. Well, if we have these chemtrails being sprayed around that obviously cloud cover, and especially what is in the stuff, barium salts, aluminum, whatever else, does this not trap heat close to the Earth's surface?
My feeling is that they do. And we've had two studies come out in the last 2 or 3 months where the ratio of high cloud cover to low cloud cover, which had been stable for many decades, suddenly saw a drastic readjustment just in the last decade, and more interestingly, within the last 6 years, since 1999 in particular, where the amount of mid and high-level cloud cover has doubled. And that doubling of high cloud cover is assisting the warming. And this may be one of the reasons why the trend of warming is simply accelerating, and it isn't leveling off and going linear, but it's going geometric. And if you create the amount or the ratio of low clouds, which is, you know, I mean, only several hundred feet to a few thousand feet in depth, those thicker clouds can reflect that heat back into space before it reaches the ground and then warms the crust of the planet or the oceans. But if you increase the high cloud cover, much of that insulation from the sun still arrives at the lower atmosphere and then heats the ground. But then it traps the infrared radiation, so it cannot escape. It can't be vented back into space during the night.
Yeah, this is just a normal heat exchange. On the sunny side, when the sun is striking the Earth, if you have high cloud cover, a lot of that heat is going to be trapped when the Earth turns, and you're going to trap that heat. I want to say thermal. It acts like a thermal blanket.
It's a thin blanket. It's a thin foil blanket. And what kind of blankets do they put in these emergency kits?
Foil
aluminum.
That's
blankets.
Right. That's right. That will keep you from freezing to death in the middle of the desert in the middle of the night.
Exactly.
Now, what if this is an exercise in weather modification and they are actually accelerating? I'm just saying, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a moment, because I think the Earth has some built-in safeguards.
I agree.
If there are things going on, Mother Nature has a tendency to do some things to rectify its own problems. But if we are experiencing some sort of global warming, albeit small, due to greenhouse gases, whatever the case may be, and they're doing this weather modification, and they're actually trapping heat on the Earth's surface, well, then, if this has got to be a phony argument against global warming, if they're actually doing measures to accelerate it.
I agree. And because we've had atmospheric manipulation and weather manipulation since 1976, our entire baseline over the last four decades about this planet's warming is faulty. It's simply bad data going into atmospheric models and climate models. And this is one of the reasons why there is not yet consensus on the cause of global warming, is that there are so many mixed signals.
But it's Scott, let me stop you here. It's not stopping people like Al Gore and a sundry other peoples that are pushing for climate, I don't want to say use the term climate control, but emissions control out of any industrialized country, no matter where it is on the face of the earth, and it's done through, of all things, United Nations.
Yes, it's a red herring, and it's just to keep the environmentalists and those that are concerned about this planet off the real path, off the real scent of what is our problem. You know, every planet in the solar system is manifesting changes. Earth is not alone. The rotation of Saturn has changed by several minutes just since Voyager 1 was there in 1980. We've got brilliant ultraviolet aurora growing on Venus. We've got literally greenhouse gases. We've got the atmosphere changing on Mars. There is something above and beyond your tailpipe that is affecting this planet. And as long as they can keep you thinking it's pollution, then I'm okay with cleaning up pollution, because we have to breathe this stuff. but it is not impacting the Earth to the extent that they believe it is in regard to warming.
Well, if my memory serves correctly, about every 90,000 years, we have something of an ice age that happens on planet Earth because the axis of the Earth actually changes.
There's a precessional cycle.
And how close are we to the next ice age here? Has anybody calculated that one out?
You know, if that's a really good question, but it opens a whole other can of worms that I don't know that we want to get into.
Okay.
My belief is that that tipping point is very near or has been passed recently, and that once the oceans do begin to go through a readjustment, this civilization will struggle to maintain status quo. And I think we need to have a great many minds and resources efforted to planning the next expression of human civilization on this planet. That the way we're living now is simply not sustainable. The government knows it, and they know the end is close enough, and this is why this administration in particular simply doesn't give a rat's behind about the environment. They're harvesting everything, oil, timber, everything they're taking before some end. And this really puts our environment in a different light. If they know that there is a collapse in the oceans, if there is a precessional cycle coming, the sun's next solar cycle being immense, and whether that affects the magnetic field of this planet, something is coming. And there is very, very little planning for a decade down the road.
You know, I'm a little amazed here because I can remember the Audubon Society for years and years and years. They were telling people, go plant trees. Trees take in carbon dioxide, and they expel oxygen.
There is something that equation is missing, and that is methane. A discovery that was just published in the last 6 months, they didn't realize that living matter, trees, and especially tropical forests, excrete methane. And methane, pound for pound, is 20 times more potent greenhouse gas and carbon dioxide.
Well, Scott, I'm a little confused here because I can remember several years ago, my engineer here, Kelly, is laughing because we were just talking about ecology and whatever else before the broadcast today. But I can remember several years ago they were talking about cattle flagellants and
mm-hmm.
termite farts,
mm-hmm.
okay, adding to the methane problems of the world.
Yep.
Now,
and it adds every flatulence, every instance adds methane to the mix.
But this has been going on. Okay, absent the Industrial Revolution, absent the carbon stuff we've been putting in the atmosphere, absent the miles and miles of the Earth's surface we've paved over, which helps to trap and maintain heat, whatever, we had at one time no buildings on this planet. Obviously, we had methane in the atmosphere at that time. Why is methane now a bad thing?
I don't believe it is. I think we're on the upswing of a natural cycle, and that we are polluting our own atmosphere. And whether we quit driving all our cars tomorrow, in the long run, won't make a bit of difference in the warming that this planet is experiencing. It's too late to do anything about it. We need to be planning for the other side of a climate change. That's where our efforts need to be directed. It's too late.
But yeah, we'll have organizations and working through the United Nations down to every governmental level. We're going to be, how should we say, controlled as to what we can do and how much of it we can do. But we're going down the wrong path on this.
Absolutely. And this is where it's going to come down to individual state governors making a difference. We need to plan locally and deal with our resources locally. We've nationalized and centralized far, far too much.
Well, and you know, it's ironic you should say this because just before the broadcast, as I said, I was talking to my one of my engineers here, and we were talking about this, and I said the number one mistake, I said, I don't get on the broadcast because we know that the manipulators and the controllers, the people that want to control everything that we do, I have a tendency not to talk about ecology or anything like that because this is, in many instances, as you said, a red herring.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but the one thing that must be done, and it's ironic you should mention this, that this does not come on high from Washington, D.C. with some bureaucrat that, well, I made a joke last week that if a bureaucrat wanted to commit suicide and jumped out of a window, it'd take him a week to hit the ground and die. that most of this can be handled. If we've got irresponsible parties polluting air, polluting water, this should be done at the state level with control at the state and control of the people within the state.
I agree. I agree. And that's how education should be dealt with, too. All of it should be done on the state level. If you have 50, 51, 52, if you want to, you know, count in the territories as well, different ideas, different organizations approaching a similar problem with different histories and different educations, you're going to come up with several solutions which would be very powerful, rather than having one centralized group with a political directive. You're guaranteed to fail.
I was just going to say a political directive or a political agenda.
Well, and you've got climatologists from NASA, from NOAA, coming forth and talking about the problem we're facing. And yet there's political pressure to shut them up. Rumsfeld isn't our problem. Our problem is Bush.
A rummy in the hand is worth two in the bush. we got to take the break. The music's here, Scott. We'll take your calls at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Scott Stevens. The website, ladies and gentlemen, is weatherwars.info. And fascinating material. You should look at this site, the best compiled site to date. We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
future programming here. I'm still writing. Give me a second here, folks. Okay. Coming up next week, next Tuesday, Chris Boland from the American Free Press. Next Wednesday, Bill Sardi. On Friday, Dr. Adrian Krieg with his new book, Money, which is an outstanding book. Just got through reading it. And on the 24th, that's the following Monday, Aaron Russo. And a little announcement on his film. That is going to be released, I think, in June or July to the major metropolitan cities across the United States. So good stuff happening there. We've got callers online with my guest today, Scott Stevens, weatherwars.info. I encourage everybody within the sound of my voice to go up to that website, check it out. And then this is a neat little thing. You got friends that that have computers. Well, you can just email the site right over to them. Folks, it's about the information. You know, we can have a treasure trove of information, but if it doesn't get disseminated far and wide, it is next to useless. Would you not agree, Mr. Stevens? What happened?
That truly is the only way you empower yourself and others around you is through knowledge. And there has been great effort to keep us dumb. So we share the knowledge.
All right.
Have to share the knowledge.
Let's go to the phones. BL in Texas. Hello, BL.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Mr. Stevens, I really appreciate the website and you're coming forward with the information. What do you think about what I'm hearing about the solar cycle? We have this solar activity cycle that waxes and wanes over, I believe, a nine-year period.
11.
11, okay, 11-year period. The last peak, it didn't decline. It just kept going up. And I'm hearing all kinds of quietly alarmed people talking about they don't know what's going on or where it's going to end.
Yeah, it was an interesting double peak that we saw with the last cycle. I think there was the max in 2000 and then the secondary peak in late 01 to 02, and then it dropped very quickly to that, well, it stayed high, elevated for quite a while, and then it appears we probably hit bottom earlier this winter. I believe there was about 10 to 12 days in late January, early February with no sunspots visible on this side. My feeling is that forecast that the National Centers for Atmospheric Research issued a little while ago is going to be a conservative one. There is a book called The Orion Prophecy by an astronomer in England, Patrick Gerald, and he talks about some fascinating mathematical things that will come to fruition as we get to 2012, the peak of the next solar cycle. And if his book is anything to be believed, and you'd have to read it to make your own determination, that as we end one of these precessional cycles, the sun goes through a change, a very profound change, and that always affects the magnetic field of this particular planet, and it affects the other planets as well. And I have to not wonder if the changes we're seeing elsewhere in the solar system are not simply leading up to this next solar storm. And it's not something that's talked about. It's not something that civilization is prepared for, is solar storms.
Am I going to have to get out my sunscreen down here in Texas with a thousand value here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And who knows if that's going to be enough.
BL, anything else?
Well, the solar observatory only looks at our side of the sun. What's going on the other side is what concerns me.
Well, SOHO, it has the ability to use, I believe, ultrasound to look and see what's going on the other side of the sun to kind of give us an idea of what's happening there. And the website for that is, you could just go to sec.noaa.gov, which is the space weather website, and they've got pictures of the far side of the sun if you want to take a look at that.
All righty. BL, we're out of time in this segment. Thanks for your call. We'll continue this conversation with my guest today, Scott Stevens. Weatherwars.info is the site. There's enough to keep you reading for the next 3 days on that deal. We'll return here with my guest right after the top of the hour break. 11915 out there on shortwave land, if you can get it. We'll be right back.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.